Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to continue with the help of the Holy Spirit to consider the Christian doctrine of regeneration, conversion, or the new birth. Now, because some Christians in America speak of the new birth in terms of some kind of intensive emotional experience that is necessary, when we hear the term born again or new birth, we sometimes think that what it is much more involved than what it actually is. So let's take a look at what the Lord wants to teach us from John chapter 3 about the new birth, being born again. And the first thing that we learn about the new birth is that it is absolutely necessary for a person to either comprehend or enter into the kingdom of God. No one will be saved unless they are born again. Jesus responds to Nicodemus's good but inadequate statement by saying, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, why did Jesus say this? Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, came to Jesus and said something that was true as far as it goes, but is utterly insufficient. You know, there are times when the world says a thing that is true on the face of it, but it's not the whole thing, and it's not adequate because it's only part of the truth. And so it is here. Nicodemus draws a reasonable conclusion from things he has observed. Nobody could do the miracles that you do unless God was with him. So therefore, I conclude you must be a teacher come from God. And I'm not the only one who thinks this way. Now, this is a nice thing to say, but it's not a statement of faith, and it is inadequate. And therefore, Jesus says to him, unless a person is born again, he cannot perceive, he cannot see, he cannot know the kingdom of God. This confuses Nicodemus, and he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, in his words, you see that Nicodemus is focusing on something that he is to do. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, the earthly focus of Nicodemus is causing him to miss the mark and not to perceive spiritual truth. At first, he says nice but inadequate things. Then when he is told that he needs to be born again, he thinks of it in a fleshly sense and thinks of it as something that is, am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus further says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, no, I'm talking about baptism. All right, we'll get to that later. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All right, now listen. When a human group of people invents a form of religion, their religion is not spiritual. It is a work of the flesh. It may be emotional. It may make them feel really good. But it is not spiritual, because the only thing that is spiritual is what the Holy Spirit of God produces. And the Holy Spirit of God only comes from Jesus Christ by means of the Word and Sacrament. And so, everything that man produces is human and fleshly. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So that when a person dismisses the Christian faith and they say, I'm not religious but spiritual, the answer to that is, what you think is spiritual is actually only emotional and therefore of little ultimate value. There is only one spiritual thing, and that is what the Holy Ghost produces. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't be surprised, marvel not, that I say unto you, ye must be born again. So Nicodemus here is told, as we are being told, that being born again is utterly necessary, and no one understands the gospel, and no one gets into heaven unless they have been born again. All right, so now, since we learned that it's necessary, the next question is, so then, what exactly is it? What is this being born again that is absolutely necessary? And Jesus shows this to us in verses 14 and 15 in the gospel lesson. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in this verse, what he's saying is that to be born again means to have faith in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer from sin. That's what it means to be born again. To have faith in Christ as the Redeemer from sin. And then a little bit of disappointment comes over you when you realize that being born again is the bestowal of faith. And the reason is because we think that faith is pretty much an easy thing. I've been believing in Jesus all my life. You mean that's all there is to being born again? Well, yes and no. Yes, it is that easy. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by whom alone you have everlasting life? That's being born again. Because if you weren't born again, you could not believe that. You could not trust it. You could possibly pay fake lip service to it, right? But you couldn't truly trust it. Your heart cannot, by human power, rest in Jesus and his salvation. All right? So a momentous thing has taken place in your life. And very often we don't even realize that. That's what Jesus is conveying to us here. This thing being brought to faith, coming to believe in and trust in Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, is something no human being cannot do. But that through the power of the Holy Ghost in the Word and sacraments, what is humanly impossible is as easy as pie. And it happens like that. Do you see the wonder of Christ and the gospel here? To be born again, we start thinking of people with great emotional upheaval in their lives, doing all kinds of things and having all kinds of so-called spiritual experiences, when really, the big thing, we often don't understand it, but the big thing is to be brought to faith in Christ. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. You see that? What we cannot do, it just cannot happen from the flesh. God does. We are brought to faith. And the fact that you believe in Christ and trust him is an astonishing work of God. And so, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in a crucified Jew, is to have eternal life. You see, God hides his power under the form of weakness. He hides his wisdom under the form of foolishness. But his wisdom beats out the wisdom of man, and his weakness is stronger than men. And so it is when Jesus talks about the necessity for the new birth, he's talking about the accomplishment of something that human beings cannot do, but that God can do and does do. That is the bestowal of faith in Christ. All right, so now we know the secret is out of the bag. We know that this necessary thing is the bestowal of faith. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the question arises, and here we're coming around the third turn. All right? The question arises, how does God work this faith in me? All right? In verse 5, Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's put that in a positive way. God causes you to be born anew when his Spirit bestows faith upon you in the sacrament of baptism. To be born of water and of the Spirit means to be baptized. In baptism, the Holy Ghost comes to you with all the gracious gifts of Jesus Christ, and it is he who bestows this faith and all of the grace of God that faith depends upon, it is the Holy Ghost who bestows this in the sacrament of baptism. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How do you become spiritual? How do you become born again? Through baptism. Through baptism. Baptism is a means of grace. But here, listen. Baptism is not a means of grace because it is some kind of magic water. Baptism is water that is comprehended in and connected up with God's Word. It is God's Word of command and promise connected with the water of baptism that makes the water of baptism a baptism and not simply a bath. Okay? The fact is that the gospel is given to us in the water, and it's the gospel that makes the water a baptism. So when you are receiving baptism, you are receiving the word of promise in the water. Now, you don't only receive the word of promise in the water. Let me share with you something from a few weeks back. James chapter 1 verse 18 says of the Father, of his own will he begat us with the word of truth. So we are born as Christians, as believers, by means of the word of truth. Or let me share with you in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, echoing this, it says, if I can get there, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth forever and ever. So by means of his word and the sacraments, the Holy Ghost bestows faith. Or as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. All right. So we know that the new birth is necessary. We know that it is the bestowal of faith. And we know that God bestows this faith on us in our use of the word and the sacraments. So how can we make sure that we not only have this wonderful gift, but continue to have it nurtured and strengthened in us? By faithful use of the word and sacraments, we are strengthened and kept in this faith. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.